Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. The Institute for Emerging Issues at NC State has a well-earned reputation as one of North Carolina's most insightful and important public policy research organizations. Down through the years, the group has used its annual Emerging Issues Forum as a vehicle to explore a bevy of important issues, from tax policy to climate change. This week, the Institute kicks off its second year devoted to the issue of early childhood education, what the group has dubbed Kidonomics, at a two-day event in Raleigh. Recently, I sat down with the Institute's director, Leslie Boney, to discuss the event and where North Carolina stands on the issue of early childhood education. Well, Leslie Boney, welcome back to News and Views. Great to have you back with us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Tell our listeners about the Emerging Issues Forum, and you have a big event coming up this week.
We definitely do. This is our big event every year. Every year for the last 30 plus, we've brought policymakers and educators and business people and government types from across the state together in the same place at the same time to talk about something. And it's ranged from climate change to education reform to healthcare issues, innovation, ecosystems, the possible impact of automation on where we're going as a state, to this year, a focus that we have on early childhood. Right. We call it Kidonomics.
And this is not just the first year you've, am I right? You talked about this some last year?
Right. We did, for the first time last year, a sort of mini forum that focused a smaller group of people on the economics of this issue. And over the past year, we've spent touring around the state. We've called together a Blue Ribbon Commission to look at local finance options for early childhood issues. We've worked with the Early Childhood Foundation and some of the other big groups in the state that care about this issue. And now we're calling the question to a larger group and really trying to bring both state and local elected officials, business leaders, and others from across the state to figure out what we do next.
Well, one of the statistics that's trumpeted right on the front of the website is this remarkable one that 50% of first graders did not meet reading proficiency standards at the end of the 2015-16 school year in North Carolina. There's something more behind this than just what went on during that first year of schooling for those children. There's a whole deficit, obviously, that many of these children are bringing to when they get into our public schools. Can you shine a little more light on that?
Well, in a state where we disagree about a lot of things, the state on both the Democratic side and the Republican side has come together around this notion that it really matters a lot whether children can read by third grade. So by first grade, we see half the children are not able to read proficiently. By the beginning of fourth grade, we find that 38% of children are not reading proficiently. So we have this remarkable consensus that third grade reading really matters. Where we disagree is exactly when we start, and that's the issue you're picking up on. And the more we look at brain science and the more we look at the outcomes of programs that have been successful, we find that it really does matter to start earlier. If you want third grade reading, you don't start at the beginning of third grade. You don't start at second grade. And then the question is where you allocate resources and who they come from.
Now, of course, what some people would say is, well, you know, that time between a child's birth and when they enter public school, that's the parent's responsibility. And we shouldn't have the state or government interfering or getting itself involved in that period of time. What do you say to that? I mean, it seems to me that it's pretty clear that's going to put us behind if we stick to that point of view, that there is a public responsibility to help lift up children in those early years, particularly children whose parents don't have the capacity to help them.
Yeah, and I don't think it's calling into question the competency of parents. It's simply saying that we need options for people that don't necessarily have great options. Right now, 77% of North Carolinian children enter kindergarten without having had any sort of licensed child care. And that's wonderful for people who have parents who are stay at home and are on the job or have great grandparents or cousins or nephews that are helping them. But it doesn't necessarily meet the needs of everybody. And we find there's a huge swath of people that really could benefit from a licensed quality child care environment that aren't getting it, that there's simply not enough funding for. So then the question is, can you intervene in such a way with children that are not getting it that you don't disempower parents, but you still get them the care that they need? And that's another part of the policy debate.
So I presume that's one of the topics we'll be talking about at this upcoming event this week. Tell us a little bit more about the event and who's going to be speaking and what they're going to be talking about.
Yeah, day one focuses on federal policy, state policy, local policy, and really tries to sort through where we are right now when it comes to early childhood development resources in North Carolina. And we'll have a sort of unusual list of suspects. There'll be a banker from Morgan Stanley coming down to talk about the sorts of investments that large financial institutions are making in early childhood and why they're doing it and why they think they're a good bet to pay off. We'll have the governor will come. I think this will be the only event. I think I can say this with confidence. This will be the only event that you'll see this year that will have the governor, Jim Goodnight, the CEO of SAS, Vanessa Harrison, head of AT&T North Carolina, and Elmo.
I'm sure Elmo will steal the show, no doubt.
Well, Elmo's not going to say much.
Yeah.
We have walk-around Elmo there. we do not have speaking Elmo. But the second day is really hands-on, and it's with local providers. And that's kind of the nuts and bolts. So day one is sort of the policy and theory of it. Day two is the practice of early childhood. What are the new strategies that people are using that are really helping them to make significant progress when it comes to educating young people before they arrive and get fully involved in school?
Any sneak previews?
Well, I don't think enough attention has been paid to what I think is the biggest study ever of early childhood outcomes. And that's something that Ken Dodge and a number of other people at Duke did last year, which looked at 1 million North Carolina children and found, not too remarkably, that if they got quality intervention through something like a Smart Start or something like a NC Pre-K program, by fifth grade, they were performing about a half grade better than those that did not get that. So we'll be talking some about the sort of mass of brain research and these long, big longitudinal studies that are looking at that and just trying to make that point. But mostly, we at the Institute for Emerging Issues try to take an economic view on everything. And so we'll also be talking about the long-range implications of investing early in young people for property values in a community and decreased amounts of remediation that need to happen in elementary school. There are a number of ways that people save later if they invest early.
Of course, our current political leadership, I think it's fair to say, has been pretty skeptical of the idea of ratcheting up investments in public education. They have brought an approach to our economy that's focused on tax cuts. Teacher pay has been a battle. All kinds of investments in public education have sort of languished in recent years. But you've got some of those people coming to speak. So it's an encouraging sign, perhaps, that maybe this message is starting to resonate even with conservative state leaders.
Well, the business panel, I think, makes a really strong point. And Jim Goodnight and Vanessa Harrison and Jim Hansen from PNC Bank have been sort of going on a little bit of a roadshow advocating for this investment early on. And they're part of a business roundtable nationally that has this as one of its priorities. And the argument from the business community is that it's our future workforce, one, but two, we need our parents to be confident that when they come to work for us, they don't have to worry about the quality of childcare that their young children are getting. And we think the combination of those arguments is something that resonates with the business community.
Still, at this point in North Carolina, we still, I think it's fair to say, have a ways to go there. We have waiting lists for access to childcare and, you know, and pre-K. And what's sort of the state of that? Are you seeing any progress there?
I think the question is not whether there will be more funding for NC pre-K. It's how much more. In a given year, we might find additional funding for an extra 1,000 students when the need is roughly 10 times that. So it's slow, steady progress, but it's not meeting the needs of everyone who could possibly use that.
Well, so if folks would like to watch the event, if they can't make it to the event in downtown Raleigh coming up Monday and Tuesday, how could they perhaps follow along online?
Well, first, they can't come to the event the second day if they haven't signed up already. That's completely sold out.
Okay.
We are going to have some walk-up sign-in for people who want to physically attend the event in downtown Raleigh at the Convention Center. But our great partner is UNCTV's North Carolina channel, and they will be broadcasting this statewide. So the channels that the North Carolina channel is on in each market is different, but you can go to their website and find it. And the entire event on Monday, February 5th will be televised from 8 to 5. So it'll be available on your local North Carolina channel.
So people can binge watch. And what about next year? Have you even thought about what comes after this? You're still focused on what's coming up this week?
I'll give you a little bit of a preview. We've been thinking about that a lot. And I would say that the overriding theory probably for the next six Emerging Issues forums is going to be about reconnecting North Carolina. We believe that this is a pivotal moment in the state. And as we've talked to people across the state over the summer, we did a crowdsourcing project where we got 158 ideas that clumped into 34 categories. And as we narrowed those down further and further, what we found is that what people across the state were telling us was that they felt a real disconnection that they wanted to find a way around. So I think it's connecting to communities. I think it's connecting people to jobs and opportunity, particularly those who are stuck in lower income jobs. And it's connecting rural and urban. So I think that's what the theme of the next 3 years is going to be, is something about how do we reconnect as a state to each other, to our communities, and to jobs.
That sounds like an absolutely essential topic we look very much forward to. We look forward to what happens and seeing what happens this week. And thanks so much for joining us. We'll do this again soon, Leslie. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Well, that's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.